Lord, as we bow before you and before your word, we pray that you would come yourself and speak to us. We do long that we may not merely be listening to the words or wisdom of man, but that we may hear you speak to us as we study your word together. Make it to be the living word of the living God for our souls, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. I want to pursue this morning the consideration we began 2 weeks ago of the New Testament's teaching, or some of it at least, on the theme of the Church of Jesus Christ. Through the metaphors or picture words that are used in the Bible to describe the nature and purpose of the Christian Church. 2 weeks ago, we began by considering two of these metaphors, one the pillar and buttress or foundation of the truth in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then the figure of the bride of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5. Last Sunday morning, Richard led us in studying the metaphor of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And now this morning, I want us to turn to the picture that the whole of the Bible gives us of the Church of God under the metaphor of the flock of God. You find the actual phrase at the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 5, "Be shepherds over God's flock," Peter urges his fellow elders. You get the idea again in Acts 20, verse 28, when Paul is addressing the elders again from Ephesus at Miletus, when he has stopped off on his journey, and he says to them, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the Church of God which he bought with his own blood." Of course, the idea of the Church of Christ being the flock of God and God being their shepherd occurs in many places in the Old Testament, especially perhaps in the Psalms, the most common of which we will be singing at the end of the service this morning, that many, many people have come to learn. "In days of trouble and difficulty, the Lord is my shepherd." And the whole picture of the people of God as his flock, with God as their shepherd, occurs in many of the Psalms. For example, Psalm 95 at verse 6, "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the flock under his care." But it is to the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 10 that I particularly want us to turn this morning. And you would find it quite important, I think, to have your Bible open there, not only generally because it is of vital importance that you know that what we are considering and being taught is what God has written in Holy Scripture, and not just what I have thought up. But it is of particular importance here because this is a fairly familiar chapter to many of us, but its significance is generally taken to be personal and individual. We think of Jesus as being our shepherd in the personal sense, sometimes almost exclusively. And of course there is a proper application of this whole message of John 10 to the individual and to our own personal relationship with Christ as the shepherd of our souls. But there is no question that the main emphasis of Jesus' teaching is to the Church of God in a wider, more general sense, it is about the flock that he is speaking to us. It is sheep in the plural, and not a sheep in the singular. And it is of importance for us to grasp this teaching as it relates specifically to the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask four questions of this teaching of Jesus, which are really four vital questions about the Church. Let me tell you what they are, and then we will address each of them briefly. First, how does Christ gain a flock? That is, how is the Church of Jesus Christ created? How does it come into existence? That's the first question. The second question, how does Christ know his flock? Several times over in this passage, you may have noticed previously or when we read it this morning, Jesus says, the good shepherd knows his sheep. And the question is, how does he know them? Or, what are the distinguishing marks of the church? That's the second question. How does the church come into existence? What are its distinguishing marks? Here's the third question. How does Christ care for his flock? That is, how is the church pastored or shepherded? And the fourth question, how does he add to his flock? Or, how does the Church of Jesus Christ grow? That's the last question. And I want us to look at this passage in these ways this morning. First, how does Christ gain a flock? He says, they are my sheep. I am their shepherd. I am different from the hireling who comes into the sheep pen. The sheep don't belong to him. They are mine, he says. Now there is a very real sense in which the risen Lord present by the Holy Spirit in our midst this morning looks at us as his people and says precisely this. They are mine. They do not belong to another. They are my sheep. Now, how does Christ gain a flock? How does the Church of God come into existence? There are several answers to that. But certainly the deepest and the ultimate answer to the question is in verse 29 of John chapter 10. Jesus says, my Father, who has given them, that is my sheep, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. So the answer to the question, how does Christ gain a flock? Is that God the Father gives them to him. How did you come to be Christ's? God the Father gave you to Christ. That's the great emphasis of the New Testament's teaching. Turn over quickly to John chapter 17, and you will see that when Jesus is praying to the Father about his own, this is what he repeatedly says about them. John 17, verse 2 at the end. You granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given to him. John 17, 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. John 17, 9. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Now, we could go on in John 17, but this is the great emphasis, you see. This is how believers come to belong to Christ. Oh, you say, but I came to belong to Christ because I decided to receive Christ as my Savior. That's perfectly true. Don't let anybody rob you of that answer. But my dear friends, it's not the ultimate answer. It is not the deepest thing that may be said about how you came to belong to Christ, because from all eternity, God the Father, having chosen you in His mysterious grace, gave you to Christ. That, incidentally, is how Christ has a bride, to come to the other metaphor. God the Father gave Christ's bride to Him. And the sheep who are in Christ's flock are His, because the Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. Now, that's one of the reasons that those who are in Christ's sheep are utterly secure in Him. The Father has given them to Christ. But the second answer to the question is that Christ gains a flock by purchasing them. He lays down His life for the sheep, and they are His not only by the Father's gift, but by the Son's purchase. Verse 11 of chapter 10 of John. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Verse 15. Just as the Father knows Me and I know the Father, I lay down My life for the sheep. Verse 17, the reason My Father loves Me is that I lay down My life. Now, He does this for the sheep and binds them to Himself. We may reverently say it, He binds them to Himself by His blood. And this is how we come to be Christ. That's what Paul means when he speaks to the Ephesian elders about the church of God, which He purchased with His blood. Oh, he says, pastor the flock of God, which He purchased with His blood. But there is a third way in which we come to be Christ's flock. And that's in John 10, verse 3. He calls His sheep, and they come to Him. Now, do you see how, in a sense, we are moving nearer and nearer to the experience we can understand? We can fathom little of the idea that God the Father gave us to Christ before the foundation of the world. We can fathom perhaps a little more, but not much, about the glorious reality that we were purchased by His blood and became Christ's sheep by that means. But we know little more in our own personal experience about what Jesus is saying in verse 3. He says, the watchman opens the gate for him that is the true shepherd. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, that is the call of God in the gospel. That is the call of God that sounds in your soul when God begins to speak in His gospel to you, to awaken you and arouse you and bring you to be aware that there is a God in heaven who has sent His Son, and He is summoning you to Christ. It is what happens when you are living under the control and direction of all manner of false shepherds. and the true shepherd's voice suddenly sounds in your soul, saying, "Come to me." And Jesus says this is what happens. The watchman opens the gate. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That is, they rise up and follow him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." I came to Jesus. This is how the sheep become Christ's, by the Father's eternal gift, by the Son's gracious atoning death, and by the Holy Spirit's call in the gospel. That's how the church is created, my dear friends. The church of God is not created by some synodical decision. It is not created by some human gathering. The church of Jesus Christ is created when God gave a flock to his Son, when the Son died for them and the Holy Spirit called them to Christ. Here's the second question. How does he know his flock? Or what are the marks of the church? Now, by that I mean, what are the distinguishing features of those who truly belong to the church of Jesus Christ? Those of you who know the history of the Reformation will know that the reformers identified certain marks of the church. The Church of Jesus Christ was a place where the gospel was properly preached and the sacraments were properly administered and discipline was undertaken and so on. But what I'm speaking to you about now is the evidences that we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. What are the marks of it? Well, you find the first in John 10:26. And the second in 27, and the third in 28, so it's fairly easy to follow. In this particular passage where Jesus is speaking to the Jews who do not believe in him, he says, and here is the first mark of the church, John 10:26, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." Now, from verse 24, you can gather that it is to the Jews gathered in Solomon's colonnade that Jesus is speaking. And what he says to them is, there is an evidence of those who are my sheep and an evidence of those who are not. What is the mark of those who are not my sheep? He says, you are not my sheep because you do not believe in me. So the evidence of belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ, its first mark, is saving faith. That's the distinguishing mark of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is, in a sense, what all of us have in common. If you were to ask, what is it that makes fellowship, common life, belonging together in the Church of Jesus Christ, the primary answer, and in a sense, the sufficient answer, is we are all believers. That's how the New Testament speaks. The believers were together and had all things in common. So saving faith is the first mark of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is why, when people enter membership in the Christian church, the thing we require of them is a profession of saving faith. Have you savingly believed in Jesus Christ? Have you engaged with him as your Savior? Have you rested your eternal well-being upon the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the test of church membership. The thing that binds us together is not that we all come from the same economic background, nor that we all have been educated in the same way, or that we all have the same political or social views. The thing that binds us together is that we are believers. And savingly, we have rested our eternal soul on Jesus Christ and His blood. The second mark of the church follows directly from that in verse 27, and it is obedience. Now, you would expect that if you know anything about the New Testament's teaching and faith. Verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, what then is the second great mark of the flock of God? It is that they listen to the voice of the shepherd. They want to know what he says. The most important thing in life for them is to know what the word and will of their master is. And that distinguishes the Church of Jesus Christ from every other company of people. The great ambition of our life, if we are the flock of God, is that we listen for the voice of Jesus. And we want to know what he says, and then we want to follow him. It's really very simple. But it's really very stark as well. Because this is the mark of the church. Saving faith and true obedience. The characteristic of unredeemed and unregenerate human nature is described like this in Scripture. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." That's the mark of unredeemed nature. The mark of redeemed, regenerate human nature is they listen to my voice and they follow me. Now, there is no substitute for that, my dear friends. You know the flock. You recognize that they belong to the flock by moral obedience to the will of Jesus. Third great question. How does he care for the flock? Or in what way is the church pastored? You'll notice that sheep need to be pastored. They cannot be left to themselves or they will stray. So Christ pastors them as the good shepherd at great personal hazard. In verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But the true pastor, by contrast, is like Jesus. He not only cares for the sheep and pastors them, he is ready to lay down his life for them." And that's the teaching about Jesus pastoring of his sheep. But when Jesus died and went to heaven, when he left this world, did he intend his pastoring to continue? And if he intended to continue pastoring the sheep, the flock he left in this world, was he doing it remotely from heaven? Well, of course, in a sense, the answer is yes. But in another sense, he made provision for the pastoring of his flock in a most glorious and beautiful way. Do you want to turn over to the Epistle to the Ephesians? If you don't, just listen to it, and I'll read it to you. It's chapter 4, verse 7. It speaks about Christ ascending on high. And Paul says, Ephesians 4, 7, to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. And in his ascended glory, this is what he did, verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service that the body of Christ might be built up and so on. What did the Lord Jesus in his ascension, this is Ascension Sunday incidentally, those of you who are less ecclesiastical than myself might not have realized it, but this is Ascension Sunday. And in his ascended glory, the Lord Jesus Christ sent down a ministry to his church. Some apostles, some pastors. Now, what is the pastor's task? Well, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, I say to you, an elder, to those of you who are also elders, pastor the flock of God which is among you. And that's how Jesus pastors his church today. All these characteristics, do you notice it? The genuine as opposed to the fake. The hireling only pretends to be interested in the sheep. The true shepherd is concerned with them so as to give his life for them. This is what Jesus had in mind in inventing the idea of elders, whether teaching or ruling or whatever you may call them. Elders in the church of God are meant to be, as it were, under shepherds doing the work of the chief shepherd. That's our task. And my beloved, we need pastored. You and I need pastored today. And God's purpose is to pastor us through under shepherds who will be like the good shepherd. The last question, how does God create the church? How does God, in his amazing grace and wisdom, show the marks of the church in the lives of his people? How does God pastor the church? And the last, how does he cause the church to grow? Notice verse 16. I have other sheep, says Jesus, that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Now, we have often heard that used at missionary occasions, and it is a very suitable text for a missionary occasion. I have other sheep who are not of this sheep pen. What is this sheep pen that Jesus speaks of? At the beginning of the chapter, he says that the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other ways, a thief and a robber. The good shepherd enters by the gate. The sheep pen, let me just tell you what I think it is, and I think most scholars think that this is what it is. The sheep pen is Judaism. And out of Judaism, the Lord Jesus calls his sheep. But he says, I have other sheep who are not of this sheep pen. I am sure he is speaking about the Gentile world. And in that world, he says, I have other sheep. I must bring them also, and there will be one sheep pen and one shepherd. Now the one flock is the Church of Jesus Christ, made up of Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, bond and free, every category. Paul includes, this is the flock of God. But you know, notice how they come to belong to the flock. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. That is, it is Christ who will bring them. You really do believe that, do you? That if the Church of Jesus Christ is going to grow, it will not grow by the application of some system or some set of rules or ideas. The Church of Jesus Christ will only grow when the Lord Jesus draws men to himself. I must bring them, he says. Now, that's not just a matter of abstract theology. That's the most practical thing in the world, my dear friends. If the Church of Jesus Christ only grows when the Lord Jesus brings people to him, what is our fundamental task in the Church of Jesus Christ to make it grow? I'll tell you. And you know. It is prayer, isn't it? It means that if it is Christ who brings them, we must apply to Christ to do the work that is exclusively his. Notice how he brings them. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. So it is through his word, his voice, his truth, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That's how the flock of God grows in the world. And that's what the flock of God is meant to be in the world. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ has many other functions in the world, as you well know. We will think of some of them again this evening. But I want to say to you, my dear friends, the thing that really matters is, have you come to Christ as the gate into the fold? Have you found that he is the only shepherd to whom you can trust your eternal soul? That's the way in to the fold. Now let's sing together that great psalm of the shepherdly work of Christ. 387, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. 387, we omit the doxology and sing verses 1 to 5.